CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of TFYLP. I am Daron Land, along with Mr. David Kay. A lot of you all may recognize him from Beast Wars as Megatron, as well as Transformers Animated as Optimus Prime.
Yes, that's right.
Many other accolades to your repertoire here. You want to tell fans a little bit about yourself and how you got into voice acting?
First of all, thanks for doing this.
Oh, thank you.
So we're live. We're live on YouTube right now. Mm-hmm. This is really cool. Well, I'm 6 feet tall. I have brown hair. I like walks in the park and a little bit of barbecue now and again. Apparently, there's some happening pretty soon.
And some bourbon after once this. In a while,
too. A little bourbon, a cigar. apparently so. I've been in this industry for, wow, it's coming up on 30 years, and been part of the Transformers franchise. Sneaking up on 15 and 20 years involved in the franchise, and they still keep me around. And it's great to be here in Wichita. I've always wanted to come to Kansas.
Yeah,
I wore my red shoes in Kansas. So I got the, get the red Nikes. So we're here.
I also want to thank Phil Searle of TF Expo for allowing this opportunity. And again, thank you for joining us on TFYLP. We've had Gary Chalk on the show. He was actually our very, very first voice actor guest several years back, special guy. And then this past Christmas, we had Paul Eiding from Generation One.
Right.
And Richard Newman joined us for our Christmas
cool.
episode.
Very cool.
So that is really, really special, and it's special to have you on the show. Fans, follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. If you have any questions or comments about the show, tweet us at TFYLP or join us on our Facebook group and search for Transformers for your listening pleasure. And we have lots of episodes. We've got over 211 episodes under our belt. So we've been going for about 5 years.
Wow.
So lots of great stuff.
Excellent.
So you, I think a lot of fans really got to fall in love with you with Beast Wars Megatron, an iconic character, iconic catchphrases, the yes. And
yes, the excellence. Commander Rattrap, what a pleasant surprise. Side guns, which is one of my favorites.
Side guns.
Yeah, side guns.
And then there's the rubber ducky.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. Rubber ducky, you're so fun. I can't remember the context of that thing. I was given two rubber duckies this morning, by the way. There's always somebody that brings rubber duckies. I got a green one today, and a camouflage green rubber ducky. I don't know where they found that one. I think that was the...
he was taking a bath, an oil bath or something, or some kind of bath.
I believe that's what it was, yeah.
And I think they had a duck floating. Didn't they have something was floating?
I believe what it came from, if I'm not mistaken, a deleted scene that was supposed to be in an episode, but it was cut for time. And he was, like I said, in an oil bath, I believe. And,
yeah, that's there's something like that. Yeah,
and there was a rubber ducky floating in
there. That's right. I remember I was in the UK in Birmingham, and they brought a rubber ducky. It was like that big. It was huge. Mm-hmm. So I've had all and little teeny ones are that small. It's been kind of fun.
And I know at BotCon this year they were selling exclusive little rubber duckies.
Yeah, I have one in my studio. It sits right beside me to my left every time I work.
And the exclusive this year, the Transmetal 3 Megatron with. It's so beautiful. I'm lucky enough to have one, and I see what they're going for on eBay right now, and I'm like, mine's not going anywhere.
Yeah, hang on to that.
So how did you come about the role of Beast Wars Megatron?
The Megatron thing. I had never seen the G1 version. I grew up on. I did watch G.I. Joe as a kid. I grew up on sort of monsters and. Things like that, and one cartoons that I remember watching and really enjoying is the really strange ones, Tex Avery stuff and Bugs Bunny, and the real wacky out there things. So I was aware of the series, but I never really knew too much about it. I think that was probably a good thing going in for the role. They gave us pictures of every character. There was a stack of papers on the relationship between each one of them. There was backstory. I mean, this thing was thought out. And
With the small cast, it seemed like they really wanted to focus on building the characterization, whereas Generation 1 is more like a cavalcade of characters that maybe had 3 seconds of limelight.
Yeah, it was. I had no notion of any of it, and I was early in my career, and I'd been on the radio, and it was sort of in that direction. I mean, Rick Dees was one of my heroes, and as far as cartoons, you know, Mel Blanc, and that was so I knew of him. I knew these people that did voices. I never really thought that I would be involved in that. But before that, I got my first gig doing G.I. Joe as General Hawk, and I'd done a few episodes of cartoons before this sort of, you know, came up. So I was kind of four or five years into my career, just building it, and I was still doing on camera at the time too. So they brought us in, and it still to this day holds true how that whole thing went. I kind of looked at it, and I knew he was a lizard. It looked like to be a lizard to me, or looked like it was a dinosaur, and I kind of okay the picture of that. So I kind of. I had the idea of marrying Sean Connery and Anthony Hopkins and a lizard and try to figure out what they might sound like. I had more of a lisp back then, more of an S, you know, sort of with the Anthony Hopkins thing. And then I took the British out of it and made it more regal instead of, you know, British and put a Sean Connery air to it. And that's sort of where, you know, this sort of thing came from. And he was, I could tell in the writing, I didn't know who was writing it at the time. Of course, we later know it's Bob Forward and Larry DiTilio, who were awesome. But there was sort of a Shakespeare element to it or something. And at the time, I was doing theater, and I just started doing theater, and I started to learn about all this different stuff. And I love the writing, and it seemed to kind of flow, you know, to be or not to be, that is the question. And it seemed to have that element of Shakespeare. And I just kind of fell into it. They also had me read for for Optimus, and I think it was not too far off from where I ended up with Optimus animated, where that sort of younger, that, you know, transform and roll out. It's just sort of that hero thing. He's a younger bot, it was a different take. But so I did. I did read for the two roles, and I had a good feeling that it was going to be Megatron. After it was a callback, and you know that's when I got the word. But other times in other cartoons, you work on something and you form an idea and you create this character, and then nothing happens. Other times you step up to the microphone and look at the script or the character, and you kind of go. And just start going, just to open your mouth and whatever happens, it seems to work. Mm-hmm. So there's no, for me, there's never been really true or tried way of coming up with a character.
You throw it at the wall and see if it's.
Sometimes you got to just throw it out there. Other times you, you know, you have something. Sometimes it takes more work. It just really depends. And the planets aligned on this one. And what a journey it's been. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I know whenever we spoke to Gary Chalk, it was like, you know, he was trying, you know, was working in live action. And then somebody said, hey, you know, you want to try this voice.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't turn that. I can do everything. Hi, Gary. Pull my finger. Hey.
But it's really fascinating how it comes about. Is there any one role that really stands out to you? I mean, not just Transformers, but any one role that stands out to you that you absolutely thoroughly enjoyed and
boy, it's a tough
any
one.
More than
I mean,
other.
I enjoy them all. You know, I know it's a tough question to ask. I had a ton of fun in that. When I was cast as animated Optimus for that series, it took me a few episodes to kind of drop in, maybe more than a few, to drop into the character, mm-hmm. to drop into the role, because so used to being the bad guy. But being in that room with Tom Kenny and Bill Fegerbecki, you know, SpongeBob and Patrick, that room, and Bumper Robinson, Tara Strong was in there. Who else is in there? For crying out loud. Megatron was Corey Burton, who, you know, in my mind, legendary, is such a sweet guy.
Also has a G1 pedigree as well.
That's right. And just the amount of people that the guest stars that would come in on that. It was just mind blowing. The one morning we walked in, and generally on the script you get, they have a list of characters and who you are, David K, Optimus and Dinobot or the couple characters I played. And then you see, guest roles or whatever. One was a Weird Al and Wreck-Gar, and you think, oh, well, that's really going to get somebody to sound like Wreck-Gar or somebody to sound like Weird Al.
Yeah.
And then you walk in and, oh, it's Weird Al. And he's just sitting there. You know, hey, how are you? You know, and I go, Weird Al. I didn't know what to call it. I think I call him Weird.
Mr. Weird.
Yeah. Mr. Do I call you? Is it? I don't know what I said. I'm an idiot. But the fact that, oh, yeah, this is Hollywood. They're all here. They live here. And he was such a really, you know, such a great guy. Various guest stars would come in on that show, and it was really cool to work with them. And who was it that came in? What was his name? He was in Alien. He was, the first Alien movie.
Yeah.
He was the robot. He was the...
I know who you're speaking of, but I can't place the name right now.
Mental block.
Yeah.
I'll think of it. But I remember him coming in. Yeah, there's such a voice like this. You know, that's the... And I was just standing there, and he's looking at us going, well, you guys have a lot of fun. This is so great. I'd love to do this all the time. And I go, what do you mean you love to do this all the time? You're who you are. And
yeah.
He was just amazed at all of us. And we were like in honor of the fact that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who, no one knows who we're talking about. I've forgotten his name. It's terrible. Oh, that is horrible. I'm not a very good storyteller, am I?
Well,
in general, it was that people would come in and go, wow, you guys have a ton of fun. And sometimes you get guest stars come in who are used to being on television, and they'd be talking way back here in the microphone.
Totally clueless.
And Sue would have to go, no, you got to, they weren't quite sure, because you got to emote through your voice, and you're not doing a smiley face in front of the camera.
I remember we had Paul Eiding on the show a few months ago, and he was telling us that whenever they were doing the recording for the animated movie from in 86, they had Orson Welles, who had done voiceover before, and then Eric Idle and Robert Stack, and of course Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Judd Nelson, this young hot shot, you know, and that's who he's playing was that. But he thought he could just come in and just say his lines, and he had to do so many retakes, he said, because he would be, like you said, too far from the mic, too close to the mic, just read the line and not really emote it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more to it, as he said, than just saying the words.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because people don't see you on the screen. Yeah. They hear you. And, yeah. And that's
it's a fine line you walk with the Ratchet and Clank movie and the, on all that whole franchise. I mean, he's a robot, but you there's a piece of personality. So you can't go too much robot, but you have to, you know, if you're trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? Create an emotion with this robot. You have to really walk that tightrope. And it's a lot of nuance, I guess. And the only way to kind of get better at that is to just keep doing it and learning like anything else. I'm learning stuff every day, still every day. You know, that's the beauty of it. So for people wanting to get into the industry, that's a big thing to be able to, you know, if they want you to cry and that character needs to cry in an animated series, then
you gotta turn on the waterworks.
You got to bring it. And that's, you know, on screen, you can kind of get away with, you know, looking sad, but you have to sound sad and get to that point, you know, behind the microphone. That's one of those skills.
Well, it's like even doing this podcast, you know, I mean, we're on video, and I tell my my fellow castmates before we go live every show, you know, I try to say at least smile, because whenever people listen to the audio version, they hear the smile. They people want to hear you enjoying yourself. And
yes,
and
they do like this. I'm smiling right now. Hey,
and pay attention to those little details, and people notice it down the road. Now, you mentioned Ratchet and Clank, the movie.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, that's digital download is coming soon, and the DVD release is August 23rd, I believe it is. It was a great little movie. Fan bases loved it. It's tough to go up against Pixar and Disney. I mean, you're up against, you know, that with budgets of upwards in hundreds of millions just on publicity alone. Our little movie did, it did okay. I was really happy. The fan base really loved it. And even my mother and father and their friends who were in the 70s, they didn't know anything about the game. And they thought, oh, it's good. It was great. It was a wonderful film. So, you know, they seemed to really enjoy it. So now that you and it wasn't in every movie theater. So now that the DVD and digital is coming out, so please, you know, buy the film and enjoy it. It's, you know, fun for all ages. And it's the origin story of how the two of them met and how they get going. But it looks phenomenal, looks fantastic, and it's really cool to see them on the big screen, and have people like, you know, Rosario Dawson, Sylvester Stallone, and Paul Giamatti, and John Goodman in it is a real treat.
All-star cast.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, David Kaye.
And James Arnold Taylor, you know, yeah.
Now, video games. You've done extensive work in video games, of course.
Not as much as some folks, but I've done a fair amount of them. The newest one out is a strange video games, just right up my alley, called Headlander. That's just has come out, and that's a fun, weird little romp. I don't know what you call it. It's just strange, but yeah, you want to check that out. Yeah, yeah.
Now, is there any video game characters that you've done that people may not realize that you've done?
Oh boy, I need my cheat sheets. There's been a bunch that I show up in. I mean, I can't even remember. Somebody brought in a thing for me to autograph this morning from, my God, I can't remember. I played Logan. It was a zombie thing.
What, Plants vs. Zombies or something?
No. You know, oh, boy. You caught me off guard. I gotta do some IMDb searching on that. Yeah.
Now, I know I saw somebody in line ahead of me a while ago, and they had Beast Wars Transmetals. And I'm like, oh, wow. That game.
Yeah. I don't think I got past the first 5 minutes. I couldn't go any further. I don't know how to. I was awful. I'm terrible at stuff.
Now, what about live action? Any roles that you're known for that you've done?
I did a bunch back in the day. It was X-Files, different things. I did a movie with the Cusacks, Martian Child, which is kind of fun. I played Joan Cusack's husband in that. That was a neat little film. Just hanging out with those guys on set was a real treat. Hanging out with Joan Cusack is just she's a riot.
Mm-hmm.
And John. Yeah, it was really neat. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff out there that I did back when I was, doing on-camera work. I get asked from time to time to jump back in, but I'm so enjoying just being behind the mic and doing all that. I'm not in a real hurry.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like you'd take a role if it was offered.
Sure, but I'm happy right, like, behind this thing here. This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything that you might want to tell fans to look for is upcoming that you might not?
Wish I could say. There's so many things I can't say. There's all these NDAs. I know that Marvel's Avengers Assemble is on. I know there's some really cool stuff happening and coming up there, but there's a story arc involving Citizen V. I get to play as a German in that one. And that's a lot of fun. This was the crossover in Galaxy Quest that I show up in this past season. And, yes, a few other roles. Teen Titans Go. I got to play Death recently, which is kind of cool. You know, it's kind of a Wolfman Jack kind of thing.
Oh, wow, that was kind of cool. Jack.
Yeah. I'm Death. So there's I kind of pop up here and there, and I even surprised myself, and I go, oh, I was in that? Oh, wow. As you can tell, I just kind of – I get the booking thing, and I show up, and I do my thing, and like I'm like a child. Like, you know, what do I do? Where do I stand? What do I say? What am I – and I leave and I go, what did I just do? Where did I stand? What did I say?
Where have I been before?
Where have I been before? Yeah, I try and look at things and approach every day is something – you know, being fresh and new. There was a voice coach of mine once a long time ago, and I went in, I was doing some trailer work and stuff, and I was just working out, and I thought I was doing my thing, and I thought, it was pretty good. That take was pretty good. You know, your head, she looks at me like this, is, you bore easily, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, I do. She said, you have to make things fresh as you've never seen these words before. Every time you say them, even though you've said them over and over again, it's got to be. And so I seem to have that oblivious thing the way I approach my work is where everything's new, because of that way, you know, it seems to come across fresh and it's not stale or jaded or this again, you know. And that's either that or I'm just I have a terrible memory. People give me cheat sheets for these conventions, so I know, oh, yeah, I played him, or I was that character. I said that thing, yeah.
I know we're kind of pressed for time because I need this panel.
Because there's barbecue, apparently.
Yes, apparently.
I've been promised barbecue.
Let's go back to Transformers again real quick. What was it like working with Susan Blue?
Oh, she's a sweetheart. She was great. And when I found out she was doing animated, it was just a real thrill. It's like the old team is back together again. She would have to really calm us down. I mean, everybody in that room together with Gary and boom, my finger, and Ian's making me laugh, and Jim Burns telling us dirty, dirty, dirty jokes, and Alec Willis with his yeah, you know, and Don Skorpanok just gotta go check my tires, gotta go check my. I parked out front every time Donna came in. It's always got every 5 minutes. I got to go check my tires. And so there's that going on, and Venus and playing around and throwing paper at each other. She really had to corral us and go, okay, guys, Scotty. That was her favorite thing. And Scott was always involved somehow. And
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, she had to really calm us down so we could actually work, if you know, you want to call it that at the time. And she just was able to get the energy out of us and get us in there and done and out the door. And, the tough thing is you can drag things out too long is where people start, their energy starts to wane and go low and you don't want that mm-hmm. in a show, You want to keep the energy up. She was really good about that. We do a quick rehearsal, get into it, and everybody's feeling, you know, fun, and again, and then we're done. And same thing with animated. That was the way she did things, and just such a joy to work with. So.
Any one particular Beast Wars memory that stands out to you that you'll never forget?
Yeah, the first one where we watched the episode of this new CG stuff, and you look at it now and it's, you know, kind of old school, but at the time, you know, you're in awe of what you're seeing on the screen. And that first scene where you see Megatron, Commander Rattrap, what a pleasant surprise. Jalavell, you're not. No, side gun. And that first battle, to me, that was like, wow, this is kind of cool. I don't even know this is what we were doing. And then later on, some of the Shakespearean monologues were kind of fun with Scott, with Dinobot and the Megatron stuff, and the golden disc stuff, you know, the Alpha Omega was a kind of a cool moment I got to play. But really, the very first episode, seeing that scene, you're like, this is kind of cool. Yeah.
Now, compare the working on Beast Wars to working on, say, Robots in Disguise from 2001 or the Unicron trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was recorded differently since it was a imported show. Is that correct?
Oh, you mean
the anime
versions of it? Yeah, because it was already done. So you didn't have, you had a certain amount of time to you know, put your voice in there with the characters. So there was no time to emote like Megatron did, you know, this, if I do that, maybe this will happen. But Waspman, it is in my way. I must do this and that. You know, he's thinking and trying to go through. There's no time for that in the other ones where I got to get things done in this 5 minutes or this 3 seconds. I have to talk. You know, you have to kind of get things out and done. You don't have much time. So for me, I was limited as to what I really wanted to do, but it had no choice but to feel his lip flaps, you know, with the anime version.
So it wasn't, was it?
And we all came in separately.
Well,
for me, I like being in the room with everybody, you know, that whole radio play sort of thing where we're all there and the energy. In the animes, fine, I did a bunch of it quite a while ago, but it's not the same energy because you're by yourself and you only have a certain amount of time to put your voice in there. And then there's the translation things, which some people get put off by the translation, which is not quite accurate, you know. I know people liked it, and it was fun to do, but it wasn't as much fun as being in the room with everyone.
Well, I think we'll wrap it up because I know we got
barbecue
and several other panels is going to be in this room. But I want to thank you for joining us on TFYLP. Stick with me just a second after
sure.
We log off because I need to ask you about something. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank you. I want to thank Phil Searle once again for allowing us this opportunity.
Thank you, Phil.
Check out TF Expo next year. It's been a fun show. It's always here in Wichita and a great location. I love this town. It's
a great town.
Yeah, I'm
here.
Really
I like
away.
It here.
I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean,
but it really is a nice feel.
Yeah,
it's a really cool town.
It's a great, great town.
Yeah.
Laid out well. But thank you, everyone, for joining us on TFYLP, this special edition. Check us out Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. And we're also on download via iTunes, Google Play Store, and pretty
That's
much
right.
anywhere else you can get podcasts and everything. Thank
you. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you can get me, too, at DKVO on Twitter, at DKAYEVO on Twitter. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the webpage, davidk.com.
Absolutely.
And transform and roll out.
We'll see you next time on TFYLP.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, We'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.